Good morning. This is the second hour of Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. The producers for our program, Harriet Williams and Martha Teal. Jason Croft is at the controls this morning. The current economic downturn that's now affecting the United States, the world, of course, it touches different people in different ways. And this morning, in this part of Focus 580, we'll try to look at how the economy and current conditions in the economy affect senior citizens. And our guest for this program will be Mike O'Donnell. He's the executive director of the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging. This program is part of a series that we've been doing now and will continue to do in the weeks and probably the months ahead that we're calling Will Connect, W-I-L-L Connect. And it's a series on the local economy that hopes to do a couple of things, inform people about what's going on in their communities, and perhaps also try to connect people with resources in their communities. What we did was we held a series of community conversations this summer in Champaign, Vermilion, and Macon counties. And then we tried to select some issues from those conversations that we could talk about in this show and that we'll be dealing with in features and news stories. And this is one of them. We wanted to spend some time specifically talking about how seniors were doing in this economy. We asked Mike if he would spend some time talking with us, in part, of course, because his agency deals with this specifically, but also because this is something that a kind of work that he's been doing for a very long time. So we're glad that we could have him with us. Also, we want to make sure that that on his end of the conversation here, he has some resources available so that if people have questions about eligibility criteria or application processes for programs specifically for seniors here in the state of Illinois, we'll try and help you out if you want to call in and ask that kind of question that Mike and also Heather Mulder, who is their information and referral specialist, who's there sitting with him. We'll see if we can get that information for you. And of course, if you have online access, you can get it that way. But if the easiest way to do that would be to call us, we'll do that. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you have questions, comments, you pick up the telephone and give us a call. Well, Mr. O'Donnell, thanks very much for talking with us.
Good morning, David. Thank you.
And I'm really glad that you could talk with us. And as I said, because I think as long as I can remember, you've been working with the Area Agency on Aging. And I would expect that you would have a perspective on how seniors are doing. It goes back quite a few years.
I started with the agency in 1979, so this is my 30th year.
Yeah. In some of the conversations that we have had and the people that we've talked to, there's been certainly a major focus on how families are doing, families with children. And we heard about people having a tough time, maybe people who had before been felt secure and now didn't. We also heard from various kinds of people who were involved in social services who were concerned about the ability to meet the issue. And so that certainly that kind of focus on families and children was appropriate. At the same time, as I read about the effects of the economic downturn, I am seeing people writing that they think that senior citizens have been the forgotten group in the economic downturn. Do you think that there's some truth to that?
Oh, I think that's definitely the case. I think the general impression is that since older adults have Social Security, that they are secure. And the truth of the matter is that due to the fact that costs are rising, especially for health care and home care, and their Social Security and also their housing costs tend to go up, plus the fact that they may have seen a reduction in the returns from their retirement income, pensions, et cetera, over the past year, that the value of their home may also have declined if they choose to sell it. So a combination of loss of wealth, if you will, net worth, if you will, plus rising costs. And this year, we're looking at no cost of living adjustment for Social Security effective January 2010. So all of those things combined place older adults at what I would call economic insecurity.
Yeah, and that's certainly another issue, I'm sure, for some people has been the decline in the value of their homes, for which a lot of people, that would be at, one of their major sorts of assets, sources of wealth. Is it the case also, do you think, that sometimes the people we're talking about, because they value their independence, and perhaps because to this point they would have said they were doing okay, that there are people who are, rather than trying to ask for help or look for where might help might be available, that what they're doing is that they're simply saying, well, we just have to make do, and if we have to cut back on certain things, that's just what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. I think older adults have always been, in the main, the majority of them, I think, have, because of their life experience, have been very resilient in terms of changes in their lives. And this recent economic downturn has, again, presented another challenge to them. But I think for many of them, they make adjustments in their lives in terms of their discretionary purchases, et cetera. But as one grows older and has to deal with more chronic health care conditions, the out-of-pocket costs for health care and long-term care increase to a rate that are unsustainable. And so I think when you look at housing, yes, indeed, there are subsidized rent for some older adults who live in subsidized housing. There are social support services that help to provide help to those who are income eligible. But as you move up the economic ladder into the moderate income category, people are not eligible for public support and therefore have to pay out of pocket for such things as home care. And, of course, their co-payments for their medicine and their 20% co-payments for their Medicare health care services. And when you add all of those things up, it's quickly outpacing their income from both Social Security and their private investments.
So from your experience, what you can see, people that you've talked to, for those people who are facing serious financial kinds of pressures, what are they doing to try to cope? And in fact, are they doing things like cutting back on prescription medicine or cutting back on things that otherwise you might actually say were really important, maybe essential?
We just had a discussion yesterday with the case coordination unit for Champaign County, which is Cumberland Associates. Thanks to a grant from the Carle Foundation Hospital, we've engaged in a two-year demonstration project to help older adults who are receiving home care and who are at risk of medication errors to participate in a medication management improvement system. And we conducted a training yesterday for our non-nurse case managers and asked them some of the problems that they are observing with older adults in the home abiding by doctor's orders to take their medications. And indeed, concerns about costs and the decline in their purchasing power has impacted some older adults' behaviors in terms of maybe not taking their medication as prescribed, maybe making a 30-day supply last for 60 to 90 days. And that, of course, could put an older adult at some health jeopardy if they need that medication to manage a chronic illness. Mm.
Our guest in this hour of Focus 580 is Mike O'Donnell. He's Executive Director of the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging. His office is in Bloomington. And this morning we're trying to spend some time talking about how seniors are doing in the current economic downturn. Questions welcome. Comments to 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Perhaps I should give you an opportunity here just to talk a little bit about what the Area Agency on Aging does.
Sure, be happy to. The Area Agency on Aging is one of 650 such agencies across the country. We are a nonprofit organization. We cover a 16-county area. Many of those counties are in WILL's broadcasting coverage area. We have a senior population in this region of about 143,000 persons who are 60 years of age and older. We are authorized under the Federal Older Americans Act, which was passed back during the Johnson administration in 1965. It's been amended several times since then, most recently by Congress in 2006. And our funding comes through the Illinois Department on Aging. Although we are a nonprofit, we are rely upon our funding through the Illinois Department on Aging, a cabinet-level department in state government. And those dollars come to us through the Older Americans Act, through the Administration on Aging in Washington. And those are federal funds, and also state of Illinois general revenue funds in support of programs such as home-delivered meals and supportive services. So we are governed by a governing board of 20 members and an advisory council. So we try to keep our ear close to the ground about the emerging needs of older adults. We deliver our services to some 28,000 older adults and 2,500 caregivers on an annual basis through our grants and contracts with 30 community programs on aging. So in the Champaign-Urbana area, for example, our local partners include Family Service, Champaign County Regional Planning Commission Senior Service, Cumberland Associates for Case Management, Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation, for example, and several other community agencies throughout East Central Illinois. Piecemeal, for example, is our largest grantee, and it's sponsored by Eastern Illinois University, and they have over 70 local congregate and home-delivered meal locations, and we're serving about 10,000 older adults with nutrition services every year. Some of our direct services include the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. An ombudsman is a Swedish term, actually, for a person who advocates or stands by a resident in a nursing home. And there are over 140 long-term care facilities, assisted living and supportive living facilities in Illinois and in East Central Illinois now. And we try to help those residents in upholding their rights to live where and how they want to. We also provide help to older workers, 55 and older, who are actively seeking employment. And that's very relevant to our discussions today, as many older adults are choosing to go back to work to supplement their income.
I think that's an interesting aspect of this, that there are both people who are, perhaps they had been thinking about retiring and they have put that off.
Yes.
And then there are also people who had not been working, or you know, maybe not had not been working full time at least, who now, because of the need, are having to go back to work. Are there a lot of people who are actually in the position to do that, to
yes.
go out and now maybe having been out of the workforce for a little while at least, are actually having to go and once again look for work?
Sure. In preparation for our interview today, I did some checking on the internet with some current survey work. Before the economic crisis, 67% of respondents to a national survey planned to retire before the age of 70. And now the number of seniors planning to retire by age 70 dropped to 40%. Before the economic crisis, 30% of those surveyed planned to retire after age 70, and now almost 50% of seniors plan to retire after the age of 70. More than 40% of seniors polled said the current economy has had some kind of negative effect on their ability to retire, and more than 50% said they are concerned that their overall net worth may no longer be enough to sustain their retirement. 86% of seniors said that they had a reasonable understanding of their net worth, and 50% said that net worth had declined by between 10 and 30%. So we have an older workers program here that I mentioned called the Senior Community Service Employment Program for people 55 and older who meet within 125% of the federal poverty level. And the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, commonly referred to as the stimulus package, gave us additional federal funds to bring on an additional 8 enrollees in our program. We place these individuals with nonprofit or local units of government, provide them with on-the-job training. And what we're finding is particularly among older women who are getting back into the workforce, especially after the age of 70, they need to develop new skills, especially using the computer, modern office machines, and become more comfortable working in today's modern workplace. Mm-hmm. So those are a few of the challenges. We have older workers who are helping us as recruiters. We call them employment assistants at the Danville and Decatur Office of Employment Security, which are commonly referred to now as Illinois WorkNet Centers. So if older adults are actively seeking work, whether they meet our income guidelines or not, we have people stationed in Decatur and Danville locations to help them. Experience Works is our companion agency that helps seniors similarly in Champaign County. And so those services are available throughout the state of Illinois.
Yeah. And again, I want to make sure that if people who are listening would like to get some further information, and if you would like to ask a question about any of this, you certainly can give us a call. And I know that Mike and Heather, who is there with him, will do their best to come up with the information that you're looking for. Our guest, by the way, Michael O'Donnell, is Executive Director of the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging. He's based in Bloomington. 333-WILL or 9455. That's our telephone number if you want to call into the show, and toll-free 800-222-9455. Certainly, you talked about the fact that there are a lot of folks who are struggling in today's economy. You know, it seems to me that when it comes to the lives that seniors lead in the United States, one of the big stories, one of the positive stories, is that over the last, say, 40 years or so, there's been a very significant reduction in the number of seniors living in poverty. However, I think if you look at those numbers, you also do see that over the past maybe 3 years or so, maybe even going back further than last fall, we started to see an uptick in those numbers again. Now, I don't know how significant that is, but is that something that you can talk about?
Oh, absolutely. One of the interesting phenomenon or initiatives that have come about in recent years is the Elder Economic Security Initiative. This is an undertaking by an organization called Wider Opportunities for Women. And we've had the good fortune in Illinois of having a partner called Health and Medicine Policy Research Group based in Chicago that's partnered with Wider Opportunities for Women and with area agencies on aging in this state to take a close look at the impact of economic insecurity on older adults. So you're absolutely right. We have made tremendous progress lifting older adults out of poverty over the past 30 years, due in main to cost of living increases for Social Security beneficiaries. But I'll share with you and your listeners a few findings from the Elder Economic Security Initiative, if I may.
Sure.
According to the U.S. Census, about 9% of Illinois elders live below the federal poverty level. And then for an individual, that's $10,400 a year. And one in five have incomes under 150% of the federal poverty level. We call those the near poor, and that's a level of $15,600. Social Security is the only source of income for one in five retirees in Illinois. Yet basic living costs for a senior in the state range from $16,400 to $24,000, while the average Social Security payment is only $11,627 for a woman and $15,288 for a man. Poverty rates for older women are more than 50% higher than poverty rates for older men. 11% versus 7%. Women are at greatest risk, with widowed and non-married women accounting for 66% of all older households in Illinois who live in poverty. And the interesting thing about the Elder Economic Security Initiative study, which is available online, and I'd be happy to give you those references later, they did some special research on how economic insecurity affects people in different parts of our state, knowing full well that the cost of living varies from the Chicago metro area to central Illinois and to southern Illinois. So they specifically looked at findings for Champaign County. And if you have the time, I can share with you some of the findings.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Elders in Champaign County, they found, cannot make ends meet at the poverty level or at the average Social Security payment. Number two, elders living alone in Champaign County need between $18,000 and $20,000 to cover their basic living costs. Elder couples in the county need between $27,000 and $29,000 to cover their basic living costs. Some elders who are currently making ends meet face an uncertain future if their life circumstances change, such as losing a spouse or experiencing a change in health status. So those are just a few of the takeaway findings.
Yeah. Well, certainly we know that being above the poverty line, but just marginally above the poverty line, you know, that's almost a matter of semantics and statistics.
Yes.
You know, whether because it's you can be just slightly above and can be just as difficult as being below. So that that gets at this the question: well, for people like that, to what extent are they, you know, how are they dependent for getting along on some kind of program that's either a government program or maybe it's something that's run by a nonprofit? The various kinds of things that maybe help people stay in their homes, but provide important support. Maybe it could be transportation to the doctor. Could be some kind of fairly routine home care. Could be meals on wheels. You know, any of those sorts of things.
That's right. I think for the vast majority of older adults, they prize being self-reliant and being independent. But there are definitely reciprocal relationships between generations. Seniors helping other seniors, neighbor to neighbor help, family help, looking to older sons and daughters for assistance with practical things. And then there's the intergenerational component of grandparents raising grandchildren or providing child care for a working couple for mother and father. So reciprocal relationships are sometimes not really fully appreciated or measured in our society. So our hope that in retirement that we would achieve some level of independence is certainly the ideal, but in actuality we see a lot of reciprocal exchanges of goods, services, and time to help one another.
Yeah.
But for those who lack family, who lack a supportive neighborhood, who don't live in a group setting where neighbors help neighbors naturally, or a new term that's coming about, a naturally occurring retirement community where a vast majority of the people on your block are retirees. And if you don't have that kind of mutual support, folks are reliant upon community organizations and services to step up and help them. And I think that in our region, we are very blessed not only with fine professional services through locally based organizations, but also faith-based organizations that have stepped forward to supplement what the public services can offer, such as Faith in Action, for example. We have some very strong Faith in Action chapters in East Central Illinois, and parish nurses as well, who work with their local congregations to help older adults deal with chronic illness through education, emotional support, and counseling.
And I wonder how many circumstances there might be where there's an older individual managing to live in their home with some degree of independence and with also, though, help and support from their own family. Of course, not everyone has family close by.
That's right.
But there may be some people who do. And yet again, now, because of where we are, they're, you know, let us say that it's their children that they're trying to that are trying to help out their parent or parents. And that though then that family, the children, are maybe they're having a tough time.
That's right.
Taking care of having a tough time taking care of themselves and their children, and that is maybe eroding their ability to try to help and take care of their parents. So again, it's the to use the overused phrase, the sandwich generation, the people who are in the middle, maybe even now more than before, are facing pressure from both sides.
Absolutely right. And I think if you interviewed most older adults and you asked them what the impact of the economy has been, they would go on to tell you about it's diminished their buying power. They're not making the discretionary purchases they did. But they'll quickly turn the conversation to say, but I'm more concerned about my adult children or my grandchildren, their ability to maintain a job or to maintain their health benefits, et cetera. And they're much more apt to be concerned about generations coming up. Many of them are voluntarily helping to raise children. The cost of child care today is extremely expensive. And we just don't have a good handle on the value and the amount of time that grandparents actually contribute in the raising of children and how that contributes to the economy. We know that in Champaign County, for example, there's probably close to 1,000 grandparents who have primary responsibility for raising their children's kids. And that those folks are probably at the greatest challenge because they never expected or planned for the cost of raising children as a part of their household budget. So we have some supports for them, such as Family Services Senior Resource Center has a caregiver advisor that helps not only the caregiver of an older adult, like an adult child caring for an aging parent, but also for grandparents raising grandchildren. And we can offer them practical advice about how to obtain state support, such as the child-only grant that would help them receive a monthly amount to help underwrite the cost of raising the child, and social supports and emotional support, and practical guidance on how to educate a child in today's schools, and especially if the children have any developmental issues or mental health or counseling issues where they need professional advice.
You know, one of the things that we have been trying to do with this particular project that we've been working on is to put together a website where we can have information, contact information, so for people who are in our listening area, particularly Champaign-Vermilion, Macon counties, what we're trying to do, and this is a work in progress, so we're continuing to add to it, but at least try and create an opportunity for people who have internet access to go to the website and get some information on who they can call and talk to try to hook them up with resources. Even if they're not really sure what it is they need, they can find someone to talk to and they can say, look, here's the issue. Is there some help available for this particular thing?
Absolutely.
And not everybody has the internet, if people were going to call,
sure.
How do they go about, you know, in their communities figuring out, okay, well, where's the first place I can pick up the telephone and call?
Absolutely. We realize that our senior population today and their caregivers are a very diverse population. Some do have access and are comfortable using the net, and others do not and prefer more of a face-to-face encounter. And so our network is very versatile. Our information and assistance specialist, Heather Mulder, is building a resource database as we speak here, so that throughout our 16 counties we have an up-to-date and reliable listing of all resources, supportive services for older adults and their families. So that, too, is a work in progress.
Okay. So if somebody has internet access, the easiest thing to do would be to go to your website.
That's
right.
Is
the website of the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging. And I know it's a long title.
There
But basically, it's the first letter of all those words. So
ECIAAA.org.
Yeah, that's it.
Will get you where you need to go.
And then otherwise, if people need to call, they can do that, too.
That's right. We have a toll-free number, 1-800-888-4456. Heather will answer the phone, and if you need assistance and guidance face-to-face, she'll refer you to one of our 15 senior information service providers in our region. If you live in Champaign County, for example, Heather would refer you to Family Service, Senior Resource Center, or to the Regional Planning Commission's Senior Services. And in Champaign, for example, Senior Resource Center at Family Service can be reached at, these are 217 area codes, 328-3313, or, excuse me, I gave you the wrong one, Senior Services of Champaign County at the Regional Planning Commission is 328-3313, and Family Service Senior Resource Center is 352-5100.
And certainly for people who are interested in more general kinds of information about various kinds of help for people in need in their community. If, for example, you live in Champaign County, you want to call Family Service of Champaign County, and they can help you go on from there. And there are other organizations. There's First Call for Help Decatur. There's United Way of Danville. There's Community Service Center in Rantoul. And we've been trying to work with these organizations as part of this project and try to, again, get together some of this kind of information.
Right. Here in the Bloomington area, our primary contact for seniors is PATH, and they've been just given the nod recently to be one of the 211 call centers to demonstrate the ease with which the consumer can call 211 and gain access to human services. And they'll serve Livingston, McLean, and DeWitt County through that 211 telephone line.
And just one more, I don't want to snow people under in a blizzard of blizzard of phone numbers and websites. But I just, again, want to tell people about the one that we're working on trying to put together, and we want to keep going and keep adding to it. That's Will Connect. So that's all as one word,
okay.
W-I-L-L, connect. .org/economy. So maybe, again, people have internet, they can take a look at that. You know, and well, here we're a little bit past our midpoint, so probably what I should do again for the benefit of anybody who has just tuned in, I should introduce again our guest for this hour. Mike O'Donnell is Executive Director of the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging. It's one of 650 such agencies across the country. It's a nonprofit. It serves a 16-county area. A lot of the, as he said, a lot of those areas in our WILL listening area. There are in that, did I get this right, that in this, in your service area, there are 145,000 people who are 65 plus?
Yes, round figure.
And that round figure, so those are your the people that you're aiming to serve and work with. And certainly, if you're particularly interested in kinds of services and supports available for seniors, the place you want to go to is go to the Area Agency on Aging, and I'm sure that they will try to hook you up with whatever it is you're looking for. Here, of course, questions are welcome to 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. We do have somebody here calling in from Belgium, not too far away, on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Hello, and good morning. I really don't want to be the Grinch that stole Christmas here, but maybe we could solve some of these problems in at least a minor way by encouraging people not to retire so much. Now, I have to make these comments saying that, I'm looking at retirement here pretty quick, and I don't have any desire to retire at 65. And I think a lot of the people who are in the retirement mode, some of them saying, it's nice to be retired after they've been for a while, but they start realizing that it's much better to be active and working and doing things. So maybe we should encourage people to retire a little bit later.
Well, I think, I know, Mike, you can
respond.
It seems to me that's something that has been happening for some time now, that is, for some variety of reasons, the average age at which people are retiring has been going up, and it has been going up for some time. And now, of course, now, as we discussed a little bit earlier, some people have now felt that they have to put off retirement, and it might not have been their choice. Maybe some people, they're okay with the idea of continuing to work.
If I may comment, I agree with the caller, and in fact, we've been a very active part in a statewide and national effort to redefine aging and to redefine what retirement's all about. The initiative was taken up by the National Governors Association about 2 years ago in cooperation with the National Council on Aging, and to promote opportunities for lifelong learning, volunteer community service, and continued employment past what we call normal retirement age, to give people that opportunity to continue to learn, work, and serve in our state. Really motivated, the governors were motivated mostly through economic development concerns, and how can we engage the talent and experience of our most experienced workforce and engage them in the economic development strategies for our state.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's go to another caller. This is someone who is listening in Champaign. They're on line one. Hello.
Yeah, two comments. One, regarding the last caller's questions. I've noticed, for example, with the National and State Park Service anymore, many of the positions that used to be paid positions are now older people, retired people that are acting as volunteers. And my only comment about the people, people working longer or retired people volunteering for previously paid positions, is it really begins to impact younger people trying to get into the workforce when there's nobody leaving the workforce. And my other question is, has anybody looked at the benefits or whatever of long-term care insurance, and how does that help and benefit older people, and are many older people taking advantage of that? How does that fit into this equation?
Okay. Well, those are two good questions and two really different things.
I'll try to respond as best I can.
Sure.
I too agree with the caller that that's a major concern, especially when we have a 10% unemployment rate in this country and in the state of Illinois. Some of our counties like Danville and Decatur have unemployment rates exceeding 12% now. So I totally understand that. What we want to avoid is pitting one generation against another. One idea has been to redefine retirement so that perhaps a person can go from full-time paid employment past the age of 65 to part-time paid or unpaid employment as a coach, mentor, trainer, consultant within a business or a nonprofit or even public life. But we sometimes what gets in the way are some of the structural barriers, such as pension plans, and which limit the amount of paid employment you can pursue after normal retirement. Certainly, contracts with organized labor. So there are some structural impediments to redefining the workplace and offering some people might call flexible work hours, so that old and young can work together. Young can benefit from the experience of the older worker. Older workers can pick up some new skills from younger workers. That would be the ideal. How we get there is something that has to be negotiated over time in both the public and private sector. And then with regard to long-term care insurance, I think that what we're seeing currently right now is a reluctance on the part of older adults to purchase long-term care insurance because they're uncertain about their economic situation. They may not have that disposable income. There is something relatively new on the horizon, however, which is authorized under federal law, and that's something called the Long-Term Care Partnership Program, whereby the public sector, such as the state of Illinois, can work with the private sector, those insurance companies that offer long-term care insurance, so that the older adult can, in a sense, protect some of their assets by purchasing the long-term care insurance premium, and then with the agreement that the day dawns that they actually need to draw upon that insurance program and they would be spending down their assets, some of those assets would be protected, that the person's long-term care insurance benefits would kick in, and the state would use its Medicaid program to subsidize the difference between the daily cost of long-term care and the amount covered by the long-term care insurance, but also allowing the individual to protect some of their assets. So I'll be meeting with the state's Medicaid Advisory Committee this Friday with the Department of Health Care and Family Service to ask them about plans for the implementation of that new federal law. It's called the Long-Term Care Partnership Plan.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. And, this suggests a ground for an entire conversation, I suppose, but it's worth making the point that what we have here is we have an older population of Americans that are very different, have a wide range of needs, and that we have people who could live successfully independently in their homes with a little bit of help. We have people whose needs are maybe greater and could benefit from living in some kind of assisted living situation, but who don't need skilled care, and then we have people who do need skilled care, which is very expensive. And so there's this wide range of needs, and the way that we address them, however, is very limited. We end up, I think some people would argue, with a lot of people whose care is essentially paid for by the government.
I think that's a very good point, David. I think we're seeing some real opportunities open up in our state. Illinois, as many states, have tried to transform their system of long-term care from one that has relied since the mid-60s on institutional, skilled nursing facilities, intermediate care facilities, et cetera, which are more health care facilities, and moving more towards a supportive living environment. As you mentioned, in Illinois we have licensed assisted living, which is all private pay, and then the new phenomenon is supportive living facilities, which are where the services are supported through our state's Medicaid waiver program, but the residents use their Social Security to pay for their monthly room and board. And we've seen a proliferation of supportive living facilities throughout East Central Illinois. So I believe that we're seeing some more options being offered along that continuum from independent living to supportive living.
All right, let's talk with another caller. This is someone in Urbana, line two. Hello.
Hello. You've touched on some of the subjects I wanted to mention. Going back to that gentleman of two calls back who suggested people should work a little longer, I think a lot of us have done that, but it's not altogether easy to get jobs after you're 65. And I think to suppose that the majority of elderly people today can go out and get a job is, simply not viewing the facts of life today. You said we have a 10% unemployment. I think you're being a bit conservative. I think the real unemployment is probably well over 15% if you include the people who have given up looking for jobs and the ones who have dropped off the unemployment rolls because they've been on them more than a year. That makes it very difficult for an older person to get a job. And in many employment situations, there really is enormous pressure for older workers to retire because they have seniority and they're making more money, and it's a lot more profitable to go out and hire someone just coming out of college. They can pay them much less.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have as much vacation accrued, and there are other advantages. Would you comment?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right in that the unemployment rate does understate the issue of discouraged workers. And we find that those older adults over the age of 55 who come to us looking for assistance and advice often have been discouraged because of downsizing or what have you, and have tried looking for work and have experienced what you might call a very subtle age bias, if not outright age discrimination. We're always vigilant for that. We emphasize, as with all workers, to emphasize skills building. Today, employers are looking for marketable skills. And I think that what we need to do is couple our desire to help the older job seeker with directing them towards developing new skills. And we are blessed in this area with having a good system of community colleges, which do offer some ongoing training for older workers. In terms of long-term support for job seekers, what we try to do also is to provide some emotional support if they need temporary assistance, such as help with their health care, and they're not Medicare eligible at that time. We will advise them on options for seeking some help with health care, for example.
There is another problem that many elderly workers have in securing employment, that they may have a spouse who needs considerable care,
mm-hmm.
and it's more expensive to hire that care than it is to leave employment and give the spouse the care they need.
That is definitely true, and especially for women who have raised children throughout their lifetime and then cared for an aging spouse or relative, and they've been out of the paid workforce employment. They have not built up, in some cases, enough in Social Security benefits, and so when they do retire, their benefits are much lower. So one of the recommendations from the Elder Economic Security Initiative is that we change the earning of credits for Social Security for the caregiver, including the working caregiver. In terms of caregiver support, we mentioned our caregiver advisors out there. In each of our 16 counties is served by a caregiver resource center. So if you call us, we can provide options if there's a working caregiver, how we can help them get home care. We are moving more in the direction of consumer-directed care, which allows them to hire their own personal care attendant. We may, in some at some future date, there may be opportunities for a family member to actually be employed as a caregiver. Right now, the option is there, but you have to be employed by a home care agency if you're serving your relative.
I want to thank the caller. We just have a couple of minutes left, and I have one more person I'd like to try to get in here, someone who is calling from Chicago. So we'll go there on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello?
Yes, thank you very much. I am a Chicago police officer, or I was, and I was retired mandatorily at age 63. Even though I was a fit person, and I'm still fit, and I can do the job, but the legislators, sometime about 8, 9, 10 years ago, they passed a law that they made it mandatory for police officers in Chicago, or I think, I don't know if the whole state of Illinois, to retire at age 63 on my birthday. And then because I had contributed to my private retirement plan, and my Social Security is cut in half. So if I apply for my Social Security at age 65, I will only get half of what I'm entitled to after working my 40 quarters from the state of Illinois, I mean from the Social Security. Can you comment about those two items?
It is not uncommon for, especially for public servants, who have become vested for a state or federally financed pension plan, most typically for retired teachers, that their Social Security benefits are reduced by the amount of private pensions that, or I should say public pensions that they are receiving. That is a federal requirement. In order to change that, we will need to advocate with Congress.
Well, I want to thank the caller. We're coming down to the point here. We have just a couple of minutes left, and something I wanted to ask you about, and unfortunately, we don't have very much time. In these conversations that we had this summer, we talk with people like you who work in social service agencies and organizations. They're nonprofits, and they depend very heavily on money from the state and federal government to do their work. And at that point, there was a lot of concern about the budget situation here in the state of Illinois. In fact, at the point we had that conversation, we didn't even have a budget. And people were very concerned about whether they would have the resources to do the work that is so important. So we have a budget now, and yet there have been cuts. Can you talk just a little bit about what the funding picture looks like?
It's things are becoming a little bit more clear now, but there's still a lot of uncertainty for the future. So I don't want to paint things so rosily to think that we're out of the woods. We have to be very vigilant about the future. But for the time being, I think services for seniors in Illinois fared fairly well. The largest program by far is the Circuit Breaker program, which provides property tax relief, grant checks to eligible older and disabled persons. That program was cut by $20 million. At the end of June, the state had 35,000 applications for Circuit Breaker property tax relief pending payment with the appropriation of funds. Since the $20 million cut was imposed by the governor, going forward, those recipients, so those who are eligible for Circuit Breaker, will have their grant checks reduced by 50%. We just received a letter from the Illinois Department on Aging, which administers the program, to that effect. The second largest program is the Pharmaceutical Assistance Program, referred to as Illinois Cares Rx, which helps to wrap around the Medicare Part D prescription drug benefit for Illinois-eligible residents who are seniors or disabled to help them pay their Medicare Part D premiums, deductibles, co-payments, and provide coverage in the so-called donut hole. And that program was cut by $40 million. However, we don't have, it's not really crystal clear right now how they will achieve that $40 million reduction without making any structural changes to eligibility guidelines or benefits. Right now, my best advice to seniors is that if you currently hold an Illinois Cares Rx card that you take to the pharmacy when you purchase your drugs, that card is still good. But I think as citizens and as advocates, we need to continue to advocate with the members of the General Assembly to do the necessary revenue changes in our state, revenue reforms, so that we bring more public dollars in to support these very vital programs for older adults and persons with disabilities. Third program is the Community Care Program, which offers home and community-based services for persons who have assets of less than $17,500 and need home care to remain at home and prevent unnecessary nursing home placement. That program is intact, serving about 58,000 older adults in our state. No changes to eligibility or services at this time. no changes in reimbursement, except for homemakers. They did receive a slight increase in their hourly rate of reimbursement to accommodate the increase in the minimum wage. So that rate of reimbursement is now $16.33 per hour. Other programs such as home-delivered meals were not reduced. That's a good thing. Elder abuse was cut by 10%. They're meeting today to learn how the Department of Aging will carry out those reductions. The community-based services that we support were cut by $82,000 in our region, requiring modest reductions in services such as transportation, assisted transportation, home health, senior center operations, medication management, and money management. Older adult, the ombudsman program was reduced by 10%, but we will continue to investigate cases. Our senior employment specialist program reduced by 10%, but we will continue to help the older worker. RSVP, Retired Senior and Volunteer Program, which received state funding, that was reduced by 10%. So we took our lumps. It could have been a lot worse, and we need to continue to advocate for revenue reform in Illinois.
Well, there we must stop. Our guest, Mike O'Donnell, is Executive Director of the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging. His office is in Bloomington, Illinois. You can find them on the web at www.eciaaa.org, or they do have the toll-free line. Give us that number again, Mike.
The number is 1-800-888-4456. Ask for Heather.
All right. Well, thank you very much for giving us some of your time. We certainly appreciate it.